Okay, stop saying that. I'm trying to just do this. Season 6 is starting.
We have to start.
I know, I just said, oh my god. All right, start again.
Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here for season 6.
Season 6, the final season of the show.
Ish. Which I'm actually going to talk about. We're going to settle this today. Not settle it, but I'm going to, yeah, anyway. So we're here today to discuss To Market, To Market. This originally was broadcast on June 22nd, 2003.
Oh, we're pretty close to its actual date.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Today is June 28th.
So this was written and directed by Michael Patrick King. And for our DVD recap, Carrie finally manages to set up a date with fellow author Jack Berger, but the situation makes Carrie as nervous as she is ecstatic. Meanwhile, Charlotte finds herself in a tough situation because she's falling deeply in love with Harry. Things aren't any easier for Miranda, who finally admits to herself that she's in love with Steve. Samantha, as usual, doesn't seem to be having any problems with men. Okay. So, just real quickly, this is how we're going to do this season. I'm telling you, as everyone's hearing. So we're gonna sort of frame this as season 6 of 7.
Okay.
So the way that they aired originally is you had the first 12 episodes. There was then a large break. So it's 12 episodes followed by an 8-episode season. So
it's called Part A.
Yeah, that's what they call it. I will later explain why I call it season 7.
Okay.
But just because I feel like those longer seasons tend to be a bit much to deal with in the end. So we are going to break it up as it was broken up originally on the series. So we're going to do the first 12 episodes, take 1 week off, and come back with the final 8. But here we go. So the beginning of what is considered the final episode.
Season, sorry.
What is considered the final season. And they knew this was the final season. This was a commentary episode, so there are some behind-the-scenes stuff from MPK. And he does talk about how they went into this with the knowledge that everything they were doing was going to come to an end. So we begin with when you live in a city that never sleeps.
It comes as a bit of a shock when somehow you manage to oversleep.
Carrie overslept.
She overslept, and in typical Carrie fashion, she has lost all control of everything. Like, whenever Carrie is stressed out, she can't walk, she has no coordination, she's just like a Muppet running. And
yelling
screaming
for that
taxi, yeah. And, like, she just can't move through the world. She runs through, like, a whole pack of dogs. And then she gets in the cab.
She gets a cab.
Which is clearly stuck in traffic and can't go anywhere. And she says, sir, I have to be downtown in 30 minutes. Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah. I
step
like
on it.
Yeah. Yeah, they blocked off this little section. For the record, they're stalled in their favorite filming location.
I wrote that. They're in their favorite neighborhood.
They love that neighborhood. Yeah, that's for those that don't know, that's right next to Madison Square Park. Italy is now right there, which is, you know, was not a
Shake
thing at the
Shack.
Time. Back in the day, the original Shake Shack. I had my first Shake Shack experience in L.A. of all places.
I know, and I feel like I've asked you many times, do you want to go to Shake Shack? You're like, I don't know if there's anything I can have there.
Very good. I enjoyed my Shake Shack experience. I, for many, many years in a row, watched the Pride March just up the street there. A nice little vantage point. So, with Pride around the corner. I thought that was kind of fun. Yeah, she sees the NR train and she gets out of the cab.
And she goes on that train and then she comes up at the 6 train at Wall Street. So she must have transferred at Union Square.
Yeah, I think it's the 4-5, actually. It is the green line.
No, it's the 6.
Did it say 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a transfer. So you go one stop and you're at the green line. So she transferred quickly. Yeah, she asks directions for the stock exchange. So
which, it's like right there.
Yeah, it's right behind her, but I kind of get, like, it's a weird area.
But that happens all, when I used to work in Times Square, I'd be in Times Square and people would be like, where is Times Square?
Yeah.
And you're like, you're in it. I think people are just expecting, like, I don't know. I think sometimes people forget that New York is a city that people live and work in. So they're expecting, like, Times Square to be like, I mean, it's pretty close to Disney World, but, you know, someone like taking tickets. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, nope, it's just right here.
The neighborhood.
Yeah.
So she's there to ring the bell. So security lets her through. I like that they're like scanning her and like she's could be packing because they keep the metal detector keeps going off. But they're like, all right, I guess they're ringing the bell.
No, but it keeps going on her brooch.
Got it.
Yeah, it's her brooch. And then it's like the studs on her heels and.
So I guess this was the first thing to film in the New York Stock Exchange since the movie Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
And certainly was the first thing to film since 9/11.
Right.
You kind of forget how close we were to that.
Yeah.
Like, this would have filmed in early spring 2003. So we're not that far removed from all of that. And I guess it was kind of a big deal. Like, it was kind of like a fun thing happening in that area where, like, there had not been much joy.
Right.
And that, you know, when she would finish filming, kind of the entire crowd would applaud. And it was just like a fun moment. And all of those people that are down there playing traitors are all traitors. Like, they were all people that worked at the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And the filmmakers were basically like, hey, work's done. We're taking over and filming. They filmed at night, so they didn't film during the work hours. And basically it was like, if you want to stick around and be in an episode of Sex and the City, we're filming tonight. So that was kind of a fun thing, too. Like, I guess it was like a moment of levity.
Yeah, and they're like, you're already dressed for the part.
Yeah, you're good to go.
You look plenty stressed out and
yeah,
ready to go for the day.
And the crux of it is that the New York Star is going public.
There also used to be a right there on Wall Street on, like, right across from Trinity Place. For you Hamilton fans, it's where Hamilton is buried. It's right there.
That is Trinity Church that we see in the background in the shot.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, sure. Like, that is right there. Like, yeah. Trinity Church and, like, the Trinity, like, great, like, Hamilton's grave is right there. But across the street from it, there used to be a shoe store that just recently shut down, and the sign said, probably the best deal in the city. Or it was something like that. Yeah. Along the lines of, like, probably the best deal you'll find. And I'm like, you know, they don't know. Yeah, they don't know,
probably.
But it's probably, yeah.
So we get to Carrie the next day. The girl they refer to as the meat market.
Right. And so I have this question there. Four ladies at lunch at the fashionable meat market. And I wrote, do they mean meat packing or is that what the restaurant is called? Also, tiny Marilyn Monroe change purse.
I know how I wrote that down, too.
And then we realize very quickly that they are in the meat packing district when Miranda picks up her menu, which is like a recycled floral print Michael's scrapbooking paper folded in half.
Yeah.
And says $20 for a hamburger? That seems reasonable. Which now even, I'm like, $20 for a hamburger is expensive.
Yeah, that is expensive, to be clear. For the record, yeah, they're on Ganzevoort Street. I thought that they were at a place called, it used to be called Florence, and it was a really popular restaurant for many, many years, which has since closed down. But no, you can sort of see Florent in the background on one angle. You can see Hell in the background in another angle, which was a gay bar that I'm a little confused. I'm sure does not exist anymore. I saw one listing that acted as though it was, but I'm pretty sure they closed, like, back in 2008. This neighborhood is very different
now.
Yeah.
Well, and even with Samantha's insensitive comment.
Sure.
Talking about receiving hand jobs in that area. I just wrote, not okay, Samantha.
Yeah. We have a brief stock market chat, at which point I just wrote, I don't understand the stock market. I don't get what it is or how it works, and I don't really have any desire to. I know it's
important.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't really get it either.
And they're talking about all the name brands that are now on the street, and Oscar Mayer should be the only name brands in this neighborhood.
Too fatty. Yeah, she thinks it's gotten too sanitary, and I want to be like, you think that in 2003?
Yeah.
Give it 15 years.
But the funny thing about this neighborhood is it's still, like, yes, it has changed completely, I'm sure. But it still is always under construction.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
You're still walking down the street and, like, yes, there are all those really fancy stores everywhere. But it still is always under construction.
Well, I also wrote, this is sort of just the ongoing story of New York City.
Yeah.
That everything's always changing. We just sort of established that Carrie has her first date with Burger coming up. I did write, this is the first season opener where it seems like no time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Where time has, like, it's clearly 8 months later. Like, if you do any kind of thought into, they were in the Hamptons at the end of the summer the season before, and now it is clearly spring. And I get that we're supposed to just ignore that, so we will. But this is the first time that, like, the time jump really hasn't made any sense.
Right, you're right. Because even later in the episode with the Aiden stuff, I'm like,
right. No, timing makes no sense in this one. But it's okay. It is what it is. And yeah, Charlotte wants Carrie to get to Burger's bottom line.
If Harry had told me that he could only be serious about me if I were Jewish, I doubt I'd be in my situation.
Which gets us to the cut to Harry and Charlotte out to dinner.
Yeah.
And Harry orders pork.
And Charlotte is like, wait, you know, what's this about? Like, you're ordering pork.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not kosher, I'm conservative, which I don't necessarily get that line.
But then we understand you know, Charlotte's line is like, well, I'm conservative. Like, what did you, like, why are you doing this? And he kind of says, like, I never thought that I kissed you and I had sex with you because I really wanted to, but I never thought you would fall for me.
Yeah, I have a really hard time with this storyline. I'll do my best to be, like, light about it, but I am kind of like, then why are you out to dinner now?
Right.
Yeah, we cut to Miranda changing a diaper.
And Charlotte before that just, I like how she takes out her anger on that bread basket.
Oh, yeah, she rips that bread up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Jewish to Pooish. And out loud, I said, ugh. Because Miranda just has, like, baby turd
like dangling
on her face. It's like, how so do you much. Not feel that? But Miranda's now, the queen of this.
This is also not an unusual situation.
I know, but Miranda, remember when she had, like, a full leaf in her tooth and on that one day?
Oh, right.
Yeah, but you would feel, like, you could feel that. Like, I get having baby poop on you, but you could feel that on you.
It's pretty gross. It's chocolate frosting, if it makes you feel any better.
All right. Well, I didn't think they actually took, like, turds. Miranda.
Yeah, it is gross. Oh,
Miranda, you got a little duty on your forehead.
Yeah.
And I wrote more like a full turd.
Yeah, Miranda asked Steve to baby wipe her.
Yeah, and then...
It gets cute.
It's like, baby wipe me?
Yeah.
Baby wipe me.
Brady, help! Tell mommy to stop chasing daddy.
And that, like, causes a switch to flip in Miranda.
Yeah, it gets very serious, and she picks a fight with him, which totally makes sense.
Yeah, don't you have a life?
Yeah, it's
and
mean.
And it is, though, how many times a week do I tell you to get a life? It totally is mean, but it's also, you see that immediate flip in Miranda when he says, like, mommy and daddy in the same
absolutely.
Sentence.
Also, just for the record, Steve looks real good.
Yeah, well, Steve always looks cute.
He just looks like he's particularly fit.
All right.
Like, he took some time to, like, really work on himself.
You have a crush on Steve.
Yeah, I think I'm in love with Steve. Hold this.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Hold this being the baby.
Baby. Hold this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
needs
I got
a drink.
I think I got an old bottle of Kahlua somewhere.
Right. Because
I wrote,
like,
how dare she?
It's 11:30 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah. It gets to be 11. It doesn't mean that you're, like, drinking it at 11:30. I always have booze, right? Come on over if you need a drink.
I know. But the thing is I don't think Carrie is, like, a drinking at home type. She mostly just drinks orange juice.
We've seen her with a martini at home.
Well, anyway, I in my day, was a fan of Kahlua.
Okay.
There was once a dive bar in Queens that would make me Black Russians in pint glasses if I would do my mediocre Britney Spears impression for them.
That's just vodka and Kahlua in a pint glass?
Are you judging me?
No, I'm just saying. I once used champagne as a mixer because there was nothing else available.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, and she realized...
I thought you were a friend.
She realized that they're supposed to be together.
Last night, we were in the dining room, and we were laughing, and all of a sudden, I looked over at him, and I realized we belong together.
Yeah, and meanwhile, did you get a glimpse of Carrie's cupboard? There's just, like, a huge box of Sweet and Low, some Triscuits, big goldfish, chock full of nuts. She's like, can Brady eat crackers yet?
Miranda's like, no.
But Brady's
eating a
cracker.
Yeah. And she's going to ask Steve out on a date.
Maybe I should take him somewhere romantic where I can't start a fight.
And then we get everyone knows Samantha in her neighborhood. I kind of like that she's walking by the leather bar.
The ram hole.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is a play on the manhole, which actually was a gay club back in the day in that neighborhood.
And the manhole and Rawhide, like all of that.
Yeah, Rawhide used to exist in Chelsea. Yeah, for the record, yeah, also closed. There, it's the Triangle Building, and it's where, now I think it's...
Dos Caminos.
Yeah, Dos
Caminos. Oh, I know exactly where it is.
And when I moved here, it was not... I can't think of what it was. Something with a V. And, like, downstairs was, like, the V Lounge or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, that building is used a lot. Pottery Barn is coming. And then another Wall Street asshole pulls up in his Hummer.
Victor Webster, who was a stockbroker in real life.
Yeah, his... Yes, he plays Chip Kilkenny.
I like that his character has a hyphenated name.
Yeah, I guess he was originally supposed to be kind of like new to New York, like Irish guy. And then when they cast him, they were actually casting for another role that we have not gotten to yet, so I won't bring it up. But he did not get the other role. He got this one instead, and they kind of changed the character to make sense for him, but left the name as, you know, Chip Kilkenny.
Yeah. But they hyphenated it, so maybe it means it's less like Kilkenny would be Irish, but like Chip Kill-Kenny
right.
is more just like, you know, maybe he just had progressive parents.
Maybe. Yeah, Victor Webster, he's very handsome. Yeah. He was cast for a reason.
And he was a stockbroker and then an actor.
And she runs up to hold the, like, hold the door.
Yeah. And I didn't understand her intentions here. Like, does she, because later on he gives her information, right? And right. So did she know that from the beginning that that's what she was trying? Or did she just see a man and she was like, I got to get with this one?
I think she just saw that man and was like, I got to get with that.
Okay.
And he lives in my building, which for me would feel complicated. And for Samantha is like, what ease?
Yeah.
Samantha Jones, 3F.
I'm 4F. You're right under me.
Well, that sounds promising.
I feel like he is a little bit thrown by her forwardness.
Well, I think anyone would be.
Yeah. We get to Charlotte. Oh, yeah. Charlotte and Harry in bed. Gets him to say that the Jewish thing isn't that big of a deal. Which, of course, like, then she wakes up happy the next day. The storyline is very short-lived.
Yeah. I mean, also, she picked a very strange time. I feel like at that moment he would have said anything.
Well, that's what he says. He's like, yeah. And then, you know, he just sort of says that he promised his mother before she died. And then he brings up the Holocaust.
And she says, now I can't say anything because you've brought up the Holocaust.
Which I guess is true. I don't like this storyline. It's fine. Berger calls Carrie and leaves a message and she's screening. And
way to play it. I'm a big fan of the screen. In fact, don't pick up or I'll panic and hang up.
Don't pick up. I'm not ready for actual voice-on-voice action.
He suggests dinner and a movie. Let's go hate Craig's Room.
What's Craig's Room?
It was not a real movie.
Oh.
But in the universe of this, I guess it was like a universally loved film that he's like, let's go hate it. Which
is it a play on Marvin's Room?
I maybe title-wise, but those movies did not come out anywhere near each other. I'm not really a fan of hate-watching, so this is like the one ding on Berger for me.
Yeah, Berger.
Come on, Berger.
Support art. Yeah. Support Craig's Room. Craig is also a writer, you know?
Right. So we get to ladies at brunch.
I like Samantha's banana.
I did. Umbrellas. I wrote Samantha's wearing bananas.
Yeah.
Carrie's very excited for the date.
I think Berger and I are going to be very happy together. Oh, I love this time before the first date when you can make statements like that and almost believe them.
Miranda wonders about the drama, which I think is kind of funny. Of, like, all this drama, and Carrie kind of hits back with, like, it's what happens when you like someone. Yeah.
And you can imagine what that does to a girl.
Got it. Say no more. Really, say no more.
Charlotte thinks that she should go on a date with someone else to take the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Carrie sort of mentions, like, out of nowhere, she got a call from someone else that she wasn't going to go on a date with, but then decides to go ahead and maybe she should go on the date. We get to wondering about the stock market and dating.
When it comes to finance and dating, why do we keep investing?
Yeah, for the record, there is a pass from the fashion show in which she fell.
Yes, I saw that lamp. I saw it hanging there.
Fun little throwback there.
And she talks about, like, losing your shirt in finance. I know it's a play on words, but you can also lose your shirt in dating.
Very true. Why do we invest? I don't, so I'm not a good one to answer this
question. Well, I think because you can win in both situations. Like, anything in life, you're not just going to... I mean, I feel like this question, we ask it all the time when it comes to gambling, when it comes to, like, yes, because everybody wants to be loved, Mike, and everybody is lovable, Mike.
Hmm. So we get to Miranda's notes.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of funny if you read it. She does spell Magda wrong.
Well, she doesn't know. Magda's never there. She's probably like, is her name Magda?
It's Magda in this situation.
Miranda's trying to call Steve.
212-957-7297.
That's the number for Scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Steve says, hey, it's Steve. I'm not here. Try calling Scout at blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Don't forget the 212. And then she leaves the message. And she leaves this really elaborate message about going out and how Magda can watch Brady, and then ends it with, oh, it's Miranda. No, it's the other woman that has a baby named Brady and a sometimes housekeeper named Magda.
It's a good awkward, you know, where she has to clear her throat.
And she's living
like,
in the...
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
It was one take. I guess this was Cynthia Nixon's first take. Samantha brings a gift basket, and he answers the door barely wearing a towel.
Barely wearing a towel, and she brings over this gift basket of, like, water crackers, wine, and then it flips around, and there's Trojans and KY jelly.
Yeah, cheese, prosciutto, condoms, and handcuffs.
From the bar next door.
For the record, I guess if I had that body, I would only answer the door wearing a towel.
And he makes the comment that his towel's going to fall if he grabs that.
Because he's holding the door open with the other hand.
Yeah. His towel drops and it's Wiener City.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, she gives him a blowjob and he gives her a tip. I have some logistical questions, but I guess we won't really get into it.
What?
The deed is over and she's back up on the pillow and I'm like, wait, what happened? I don't know. I know what happened, but like,
where did it go?
Yeah.
I think
it's a quick turnaround. I think Samantha gets rid of it
pretty easily. But also with that being said, this is the part that I was like, why did he know to offer up that information to her?
I think that we're going to establish it just because it's
they
like
both live in the building.
Yeah. Well, but also he's just like, thanks for the beach. Here's a tip.
But why would he think she wanted to know that?
Well, I mean, we don't know that they haven't discussed that we haven't seen their entire conversation.
Okay.
Like maybe at some point there was a discussion or he's just like, this is what he has. Like he has this information. Hey, here's a tip.
I thought the tip was talking about the building. Like they're going to break through the roof.
I never do this, but here's a tip.
No, it's about the stock market.
Oh.
He says this particular company.
Alan Pharmaceuticals. It's going to spread right through the roof.
Alan Pharmaceuticals.
I get it. You know what I was thinking this was about? Is that Samantha, alternate storyline. Samantha was real pissed about her neighborhood changing. This new guy moves in. She's worried about her building, so she's like, I'm going to F him and find out what he knows. And he's like, hey, just so you know, this company's coming in, and they're busting through the roof, literally, and they're going to take over this building. That's why I was like, well, how did he know to tell her that?
Like, I'm so confused by the question.
That's why I was really confused. So that makes more sense. And that's why the FBI comes in and it's like, you got to quit telling these girls stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He just has sex with women and then give them insider scoop.
Basically, yeah.
Like Martha Stewart.
Just like how Martha Stewart used to have sex with women.
But that's what she got in trouble for, right?
Insider trading.
But probably not on the same circumstances.
Yeah. So we cut to Carrie on her simulate with Willie Applegate,
mm-hmm.
Wallace Langham.
He hopes it's okay. He doesn't know.
I hope it's okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I just said that.
It suddenly became clear that a simulate for me was a first date for him.
Yeah, he's clearly nervous. I will say it's fun that we kind of, first of all, Wallace Langham, he did 247 episodes of CSI.
Yikes.
He was also on the Larry Sanders Show and Veronica's Closet, which I used to watch back in the day.
That sounds like a thrift shop.
No, it was a play on Victoria's Secret. It was a Kirstie Alley sitcom where she played like the head.
Yes, I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, we start with a shot of birds. Yeah, he's clearly nervous.
Are you looking at my sty?
Yeah, he's worried about his sty.
I've never had a sty.
I get them every once in a while. They're not fun. And then a bird lands on his head.
What the fuck?
And then he also loses all control of his body. I think they're a match made in heaven.
Yeah, he gets vinegar in his eye, and then the bird comes back, and then he falls over, and then he knocks over the table.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It goes badly very quickly.
And then we cut to Charlotte and Carrie in Eli's, which is this Zabar's?
It looks like it.
Right, so Eli's market is in the Zabar family.
Okay. Yeah, she's shopping. It's kind of weird, but whatever. She's just sort of like randomly shopping.
Well, I hope you're happy. Now I'm twice as nervous about my burger date. Caring too much is like a disaster magnet.
Yeah, I do. I think it's funny as she sort of brings up, like, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, to which Carrie says, I'm thrown by the change of topic, but I do appreciate the trivia. I will say, so she talks about how Elizabeth Taylor converted to Judaism for Eddie Fisher. I will say that when she says that she's reading Elizabeth Taylor's My Love Affair with Jewelry, I thought that was a fake title, and it's not. That's actually Elizabeth Taylor's book.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think that's a hilarious title.
I need more information. There's more to being a Jew than jewelry. Wise words. I'll meet you at the checkout.
She's not shopping with this intention, but since she's at this market, she turns around and there is like matzah
right.
and gefilte fish, which always reminds me of falsettos in times like this.
You don't have to tell us why.
Gefilte fish.
Charlotte wondered just how far she would go for her true love.
So Charlotte and Harry are kind of like talking about what's so special about being Jewish.
You know, if it's not your mother, like, what is it? And he talks about raising children.
I may not be able to give you children. I'm challenged in the reproductive area. It's not hopeless, but it's difficult.
he's like, it's okay, we can adopt. And I'm like, wait, so now are you okay with it? Or is she converting? Or what's happening?
I don't want to, like, I know that it seems like I want to poo-poo love. I don't. And I think that, like, the idea of loving someone so much, I'm not religious. I am so not religious that for me, this storyline seems crazy. That's all. If you love someone so much that you decide to convert religion to be with them, I guess good on you. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life.
Just well, Charlotte is religious.
Yeah, but she's Episcopalian.
Right. But she may be open to just seeing why this thing, because she even says, like, why is this so important to you? So I feel like, religion aside, if you were with someone that you love so much that said, hey, Mike, like, this thing is really important to me, you might investigate it. And I think that even if it was religion, you would investigate it. If someone said, this is why this is important to me, I think that if you love someone enough, you would just at least look at it.
I don't know.
It's
nice of you to think that about me.
I don't think you're as stubborn and angry and bitter.
I'm not angry.
You start flipping the tables.
So we get to Sam and Chip in bed.
Go away, I'm busy.
The FBI and the super. Miss Jones? I love the super.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
I feel like also, and I just love that she doesn't care. Samantha's just like, whatever.
Well, she sort of pretends to cover up a little bit. Well, I'm like, what are you doing?
Get dressed. You're under arrest for insider trading.
Yeah, Chip is also surprisingly in good spirits. He has a little smile. He's like, oh, guess I'm going to jail.
This again?
Yeah, Miranda is out to dinner with Steve.
And
Steve, you know, like,
you look pretty. Yeah, you got a date later. Yeah. And
it's dark in here. I can barely read my menu.
I asked you here because I wanted to explain why I picked a fight with you last week.
Miranda, I know you, and I know why you picked a fight with me. You're upset because I'm hanging around too much. You think I'm getting too close. But you don't have to worry, because I just started seeing someone else, and it's going really good. So please, relax. I'm not in love with you anymore.
And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And you just sort of see her. And then we get to Miranda and Carrie having coffee near Lincoln Center.
All that stuff I said to you about Steve never happened. Don't mention it to anyone. Don't think about it. Don't even so much as give me a look like you might be thinking about it. Like that look. I can't ever, never see that look again.
You know, Carrie makes the point. Like, I like Carrie here, where she's like, I'm looking and I'm talking. Like, this is your life.
Right. And like you can, why didn't you tell him?
Yeah. And I guess that it's easy to say that, and it's harder in the situation to be like, yeah, if you feel this way about someone and there's a possibility for you to find happiness with this person, like, you have a child. And then it kind of gets thrown by the wayside, because then we see Burger.
Mm-hmm.
And off Carrie runs.
Yeah, because Carrie,
she's not in her perfect outfit.
She's not in her perfect outfit. She has to run. And she doesn't fall, which I'm surprised by.
I do miss old Lincoln Center. You see the Tower Records in the background there, and the Barnes & Noble that was right there.
Which is now a Century 21.
Century 21.
And that Barnes & Noble we've talked about before, but that Barnes & Noble was like the Broadway Barnes & Noble. Like, it was when they would do all
Yeah, because this is, once again, it's like right there at Lincoln Center.
Right, they would do like all the CD release parties there, and they had a bigger theater section. I've talked about my friend Jake going there and seeing the man screaming, I said Mary Martin, with his copy of the Kathy Rigby DVD.
Yeah, so Carrie kind of runs off and rounds a corner, and
there's Aiden with a baby Bjorn.
Oh my gosh, that baby is insane cute.
Mike, you like babies.
That baby is so adorable.
And they're standing outside of Maya Shaper Fabric and Antiques.
Yeah, it's actually Cheese and Antique Shop. They changed it to be a fabric store to suit this storyline, I guess.
Right, okay.
But it's really, that was kind of a funny, like, Cheese and Antique Shop thing on 69th Street. For the record, this was also what was used as the exterior for the little shop around the corner in You've Got Mail.
Oh.
It does not. It's not there anymore. I believe that it is a dry cleaner now.
And You've Got Mail was filmed all up there at Cafe Lalo and the such.
Yeah.
And we find out he's had a baby.
Yeah, I think that I screamed the first time that I watched
really?
This. I think that when we rounded the corner and saw Aiden, I definitely made a noise of some kind. I was very excited to see him again.
And he's waiting outside for his wife, Kathy.
Yeah, his wife is inside.
I married another furniture designer.
Really?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yep. You can't fight City Hall.
Kathy. She's great. You want to come in and meet her?
Want to meet her? No, absolutely not. She wants to cry. She doesn't want to meet Kathy.
Yeah, I remember being really sad. I remember being excited and sad. But this was the point of this moment was, this isn't going to happen. Hey, all of you Aiden lovers. Like, he has moved on. He is married. He has a child.
Is this him?
No, this isn't him. This is a stunt baby. Yeah, it's him. This is the man, Tate. I call him Tater because he kind of looks like one, you know?
Now, there's a bit of trivia that says that this is Sarah Jessica Parker's baby that she had just had, which is why the baby is so excited to see her. Michael Patrick King does not mention that in the commentary, and that feels like a weird thing to not mention if it's true. So I'm a little confused on that one.
So if you know it.
Yeah, if you know this baby. If you are this baby.
Tate.
Tate, are you out there?
And they say, let's get coffee sometime. And Carrie says, you know, the voice.
Yeah.
There's the type of date you can't wait to keep and the type of date you both know you'll never keep. I've had many of these.
Totally exists. Where you're like, yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's never going to happen. But it is, it's a bit wistful.
And she's wearing dress over jeans, which was very big at this point.
A block later, I realized if Aiden and I could survive that huge a crash and both get out alive, there was nothing I could do on a first date I couldn't bounce back from.
Yeah, she calls Burger from in front of the movie theater.
Because she has this moment.
Yeah.
Where she realizes, like, I'm never going to have the perfect outfit.
Yeah, I like that. That idea of, like, let's just do this. Let's just get this. Let's get this relationship started.
Mm-hmm.
So food Emporium in the background there.
Which isn't there anymore.
Yeah, it became a Lowe's for a while, and now it's an empty space again. But that's where I would go and get snacks before I would go to the movie theater at Lincoln Center there.
I'm standing outside the Sony Theater near Lincoln Center, and Craig's room starts in half an hour, and there are no lines. Can you go now?
There's nothing. They took that theater down. That theater doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's still there. Yeah, it's like the big one that has like the IMAX on the top floor.
Oh, not the one on 84th Street.
No, this is the one. This is on like 67th Street.
Oh.
And there's like a post office right behind it, and I see movies there all the time.
And you drop off your Netflix DVDs in that post office.
Yes, I actually do sometimes.
I know.
And they don't have stadium seating in most of the theaters, which is the one thing that I don't
like. Oh, you know what? This is where I saw Jurassic World in 3D and IMAX, which is way too much.
Yeah, I saw one of the Harry Potters in 3D and IMAX. I've seen a lot of things at this theater. This is actually also the theater that Meg Ryan and Greg Kinnear go to in You've Got Mail. So another You've Got Mail moment.
I just finished book 4 of Harry Potter, everyone.
Welcome to whatever year that would have been.
Woot woot.
So she got the tickets. He's going to get the popcorn and the candy.
You candy gal?
I am the candy gal.
Cool, because I'm the candy man.
Yeah.
No, I am serious. Sammy Davis, rip me off.
And yeah, we end with a stock market line that I don't really understand, but their stock is up.
I just thought, do you think his balls smell? Because he looks like he's been working out and like he didn't get a chance to change.
I'm just gonna leave you with that, ladies and gentlemen. That's Elise Castle just wondering if his balls smell. And that is the beginning of season six. So we know that you couldn't help but wonder if his balls smell.
No, that's not what I'm wondering. I just like thought, because like Carrie, you know, he looks like he has a duffel bag with him. Like, he might have just went to the gym.
He probably showered after then.
No, I don't think he did. He didn't know that Carrie was going to call him. Why does he still have the duffel bag with him?
Because he's going on an appointment, or he's just not going home for the day. He's not wearing workout clothes.
And this is also a fictional character, so I have to relax.
Well, I couldn't help but wonder.
That wasn't my couldn't help but wonder.
No, that's yours. You're
no,
over.
I didn't
You're done.
Mean it. My couldn't help but wonder is,
I mean, I want to say,
how did Miranda not feel that dingleberry hanging from her eyebrow?
Yeah, I think there was just a lot of poop involved at that point. I couldn't help but wonder. I want to say I couldn't help but wonder how, like, 8 months went by without them having their first date yet.
Well, that happened with Miranda and Bart Bass.
He was, like, out of town or something, or he hadn't called her back.
Yeah, she had a baby in the time.
Yeah.
Which is also, like, 8 months.
But I guess I couldn't help but wonder how long that guy thought he was going to get away with insider trading. And, like, how many women around the city had information about the stock market. The guy got around. For good reason.
The girl gets around.
And that's it. We'll be back next week with episode 2 as we journey on season 6.
Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Great Sexpectations. Do you want to do a little bit of that right now?
I don't think I can now. Let me, I don't.
Give us like a, oh, baby.
No, I think it was like, early morning, she wakes up. I don't remember the words. It's like, is she lucky? Seem very mediocre.
I like our dueling Britney.
It's not good. Downstairs is my V lounge. Ew.
Quite the cover charge.
That's like a Samantha joke.
Well, honey.
Honey.
Welcome down to my V lounge.
Yeah. Craig's room. What do you think it would have been about?
Craig's room. Probably some weird, moody, independent film about a loner
who collects comics,
something like that,
and plays the guitar
but is secretly a genius.
Anyway. And he like has, yeah, Craig's room. Let's write Craig's room the musical. And yeah. I do, you know what, Mike, I just want to say that we get comments and reviews saying they appreciate my musical theater references. So all those crossover Sex and the City Broadway fans have a home with me. And all those angry people have a home with you.